Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. It's so good to be here today. And today, it's so good to have Mark Lotz in the room with us at the table.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. It's so good to have you here. And you've been here before. And so this is Hope Talks. And so we want to talk today about what's giving you hope today. But before we do that, we want to... This is kind of an update to a testimony,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. You've
given
your
testimony, and now we're going to have an update. And so just to give people kind of an idea, again, it's been a while since you've been here. So just tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up.
Sure. I'm from Waynesboro, Virginia. Lived there until me and my wife Sharon got married and lived in Harrisonburg ever since.
Yeah. So growing up, what was your life? Did you all attend church? Was that a part of...
We did sporadically.
Yeah.
We didn't faithfully attend church every Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you said you might have done it sporadically, but what are maybe from those sporadic times, maybe what are some things now looking back that stuck out to you about church, or maybe it wasn't even into adulthood that maybe those things stuck out to you, but maybe when did you come to make the decision for yourself personally about a relationship with Christ? We know we talk about, you know, church can be a religion. Maybe
sure.
It's just you go because it's something you do. But at some point, it needs to become a personal relationship, a personal decision.
Yeah, I would say that through my childhood, it was more of a weekly task when we went to go.
You know, yep.
I didn't really accept Jesus and understand my walk with him until I met Sharon, my wife. And then she... you know, her grace that she showed others impacted my life and my walk with Jesus.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah. I find that, you know, as I look back at my life, I'm grateful that although I didn't have that relationship as a child, I was getting a foundation.
Yeah.
You know, and I can look back at that and go, hey, I got a foundation there. Yeah. I know when I hear a Bible story, I go, oh, I've heard that before. You know, so I'm sure there was some of that.
Oh, absolutely.
For you too.
So you mentioned you met your wife, Sharon. How did you all meet? And then you mentioned that through her example and through her life, that's kind of how you had come to Christ. So if you want to share about that.
Sure, absolutely. We met at Augusta Medical Center. I worked at the in the x-ray department as a transporter, transporting patients back and forth to the rooms. Fun times. And Sharon, when she was at JMU, was in x-ray school as well. And they had some of their clinicals through RMH that was done at AMC, so that's how we met.
Yeah, and you saw her, and
yeah, it took a little bit of time on my part to get her to go out and date with me, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just happened to pass in the hallways, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
That's how it starts. So you talk about her example to you, and that's a beautiful testimony, even without hearing her testimony of her and how Sharon and how she ministered to others and that ministered to you. I know that we're talking about the update of your story,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe we just jump in and talk about, okay, there's some things that have happened.
Absolutely.
Since you were on the program. So maybe we'll just jump into those defining moments.
Okay. Sounds good.
And, you know, sometimes it helps us to know what was the pit we were in that we've been delivered from.
A little backstory.
Yeah, well, sure. So if you can give us a little of that backstory.
Sure, absolutely. So I had always been a social drinker from back, you know, started in my 20s, throughout my start of my 30s. And just like everyone, I thought I had it in control. I just did this from time to time. And that slowly turned into a isolating drinking problem. That turned into a real battle with alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
that I had to face and go through.
Yeah. So I know that you came to Celebrate Recovery.
I did.
For a time.
Yes, ma'am.
But then you decided you needed a little bit more. So talk to us about, like, what was that journey from you tried Celebrate Recovery, but there was more that you needed to deal with. So sure. What did that look like?
Well, the mental aspect, and, you know, I kind of look at the process God took me through was I had to get my thoughts in my head right, and then I could work on getting the physical part of my dependency of alcohol, mm-hmm. you know, controlled or delivered from to take care of that because, yeah. you know, that was destructive and it was going to kill me. So going through Celebrate Recovery and going through the program really helped me. It also showed me that I needed, you know, to reach out and get some more help with more of the mental aspect. Yeah. Just, you know, we all have things in life that, you know, we try to carry and handle ourselves. But, you know, it's sometimes it's best to get professional help.
Yeah.
And leave it to the professionals yeah. to help yeah. you walk through something. I think God puts those people and situations in our lives to help us,
yeah.
you know, walk through those things. So with Journey Counseling, I was able to, with Mark Jensen, I believe he spoke here at the church mm-hmm. a time or two before. Yeah. We were able to work through the mental aspect of it. And once I felt that I was sort of released from that and I came to terms on it and accepted it and didn't feel any shame from that anymore,
yeah.
I was able to, well, I tried to quit drinking by myself quite a few times and, mm-hmm. and that never really worked for me. I had attempted rehab twice and only stayed for a short period of time. And then God was able to open a door for me and I was able to take it serious. The first two times I kind of felt like I was just going to say that I went. And realistically, I probably had no intentions at that yeah. time. You know, yeah. sometimes yeah. you have to be mentally ready to
yeah.
to stop and yeah. say enough is enough.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of felt like my blood work was terrible. I mean, I had tried by myself. My doctors knew what was going on. Obviously, my family knew what was going on. My wife knew what was going on. She was pretty frustrated about the whole mess. And, I started taking it seriously after talking to folks, many people here at the church today, and decided to take the trip to Jacksonville, Florida to a rehab facility. And I was there for 30 days.
Yeah.
And that's on the way down there. And at that facility is where I found healing and God yeah. delivered me from my dependency on alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things that I think that you're saying is you had to deal with some things that just maybe pain that you were trying to drown, right?
Sure.
Like absolutely. You just, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there was things that you just needed to go back in your life and deal with so absolutely. That you could take care of it once and for all. You needed somebody to help you with that.
Sure.
We all do from time to time. Counseling is a beautiful thing. God has given us counselors that help us to take those journeys back and find healing and hope and then be able to move forward, leaving those things in the past. And so you did that, and now you're on the way to Florida. And I don't want to miss the trip to Florida.
Sure.
Tell us a little about the trip to Florida.
That trip to Florida was a rough one. Just a little backstory. When I went through rehab, I went on November 27th, 2020. I knew I was going to be there for 30 days. That's what I committed to. And God was able to work out. You know, I had great health insurance, which helped. But still, there's costs associated with it. So God was able to work that out, so that wasn't an obstacle for me to get yeah. there. So that definitely helped. I decided to go when I did go was at Christmas time, which Christmas is my favorite time of year, so I wanted to make sure that it hurt me a little bit, you know, like not spending time with my family, you know, away from the church. You know, I wanted to make sure that if I ever just had the inclination to drink again, that I'll remember how much pain that caused, you know, just mm-hmm. me not being around my family for yeah. Christmas time. So that's why I thought it was appropriate.
I didn't realize at the time that you chose that time intentionally, because I'm thinking, well, he's going to miss a lot. Because you serve here at the church, and I was thinking that's like a big time a year to – but now that I see that you wanted to be reminded of the sacrifice you made to go down and go absolutely. To rehab.
Yeah.
So I drove down there 12 hours. I thought I drove pretty good, pretty fast. I was trying to beat the time.
Always.
Just the way men are, I guess. But as I was going down there, I mean, it was really scary. I mean, I didn't know ultimately what was going to happen when I got home. After talking to some folks, Pastor Jim, for example, I mean, I couldn't worry about what was going to happen with my employment. I couldn't worry about what was going to happen with my family, because none of that was going to make a difference unless I got myself better.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I just had a lot of thoughts on the way down there. Spent a lot of time driving, praying, just asking God to deliver me from this. I mean, I was at the end of myself. I didn't know what else to do. My fear was, if this doesn't work, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But on the way down there, I was anxious and obviously worried about everything. But I did have some peace. I know that the church, my wife's family were in constant prayer for me, which really helped. On the way down to Florida, I just asked God. I was like, God, I need help. I was like, I cannot do this by myself. Well, you've seen me try time and time again to do that. And I'd been unsuccessful. So I just pleaded that, please deliver me from this, because I'm tired of dealing with it.
And it's, you know, it sounds like you were at rock bottom. Like, you were looking to possibly lose everything that you had worked for. And sometimes I think the Lord has to get us to that point.
Sure.
Absolutely. Where we surrender and go, I can't do this. I mean, that's a beautiful picture of surrender, when we say, you know what, I can't do this. Because, you know, you spoke to that, you tried. You know, sometimes we make the right steps, but we don't do it with a surrendered heart. Like, I'll go do this and make some people happy. You know, I'll go to a rehab center. And unless our heart's fully in it, it's really hard to come out of that changed.
Absolutely.
So you surrender and you show up at the facility. What was that like?
Oh, whew. It was quite an experience. So when I first got there, that was before COVID had just started becoming the pandemic that it turned out to be. Mm-hmm. So it was very strange. My first 3 days, of course, when I arrived, I had to get COVID tested. I wasn't allowed to leave my room for the first 3 days until they got the test back. So it was really, I didn't have any of my belongings, any books, any clothes. Of course, I didn't have a phone to communicate with anyone. So they would just walk in, hand me my food, and then walk back out. And that's pretty much all I did for 3 days. So it was tough. That 3 days was pretty tough, because obviously at this point I'm going through withdrawals because I don't have any alcohol. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty rough 3 days I had there. The people were super nice. Counselors there and everything. But it was definitely, you know, an eye-opening experience. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. And so when you're in isolation, I mean, that's just that alone, plus withdrawals. I can't imagine the pain of that. But then coming out of it, you were there for 30 days. You stayed.
Absolutely.
Did it. You completed the course.
It was nice to have, when I was there after I got out of isolation, there was a good group of guys that, I met there that we still keep in contact today, which is really cool. The food was good, because with my battle with alcoholism, I had kind of quit eating as much as I probably should have. So I was malnutritioned. Mm-hmm. So it was nice that I was able to, you know, put some weight back on and have some food prepared. And so that part was good. It really helped me get back to a more healthier weight than what I was when I went down.
Yeah. So when our eating is off, when what we're drinking, when it's not, you know, water and the things we're drinking is dehydrating us, and all of those things really take a toll on our body.
Absolutely.
So I remember you before you went down there. You looked a little different than you do now.
Sure.
You look better.
Thank you.
So you complete that program and you're heading home.
That was that drive was interesting and tough too. You know, I was nervous because I'm going to be in a vehicle by myself driving another 12 hours back. So my thoughts were on the way back. I know that, you know, I put in the work when I was at rehab facility. I was engaged with the counseling. I participated in the group discussions. I had plenty of, you know, tools at my disposal that I could use on the way back and throughout my life to help combat my, you know, from relapsing. That was a big concern for me coming back, because I'm being in a vehicle all by myself, and mentally I can just, I could drink again all the way home,
yeah,
and nobody would know unless I told them or unless I
got pulled over or got in a wreck or something.
Absolutely. So on the way back, I challenged myself and I just asked God again to protect me on the way back, protect me from. I knew on the way back I'd have to stop and get gas.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
So when I stopped and get gas, I was completely nervous. I didn't want to go into the gas station at all. So the first time I stopped and got gas, it was like, you know, I want to go in there and get a soda. Do I want to get some water? Do I want to go get something to eat? And I was like, I don't even want to go in there. I'm just going to pump gas and keep going. So that gave me a little confidence that I could go. It may sound silly, but I'm telling you.
It's real.
It is. And gave me a little bit of confidence. And just on the way back, I just prayed that God would keep me just focused on getting gas when I had to stop again and not to be tempted to go in the store and buy alcohol. So I was able to put the trip together. I didn't stop anywhere other than to get gas, I think twice on the way back. And then I went straight home. So I didn't eat anything or anything because I didn't want to stop anywhere else. And so I survived that day. And then I kind of looked at it. When I got home, everything was fine. I didn't have, we don't have alcohol in the house unless I would bring it in. So I didn't have, no, I knew when I got home, I didn't have to worry about it. So that first day was great when I got home because I was able to catch up with the kids of how their Christmas went and see their toys and stuff like that. So that was a fun time.
Yeah.
But I did kind of look at it as, and when I started off, if I could just go one day and put as many days together as I could,
mm-hmm.
And keep focused on just, you know, being obedient, not drinking. And, just because being in rehab for 30 days and coming out, life hits you really fast because there's lots of things going on that you didn't get to deal with for 30 days. And all of a sudden at once,
it's all coming at you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I think about the scripture verse that says, worry about today, for today has enough worries of its own. Like, don't worry about tomorrow. And I would imagine that you kind of had to take things one day at a time and just, okay, let me not necessarily get through this day, but let me maybe conquer this day or, you know, and I'm sure as it went along, it probably, like you said, you had stuff to deal with, but you just, I would assume, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would assume you had to take it day by day.
Absolutely.
Some days, moment by moment, right?
Absolutely. For sure.
So one day built on another.
It did.
And another.
And another. Keeps building, which is awesome. Yeah. Grace of God.
And it's kind of neat. I was thinking about this as we were recording. I'm like, this is playing right around the time 4 years ago where you would have been in there early on in your 30 days.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So somewhere along the way, and I don't know where along the way, Elevation Church became a source of strength for you.
It did.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yes. I really wasn't familiar with the Elevation Church until one day I was doing something and Sharon was playing music on the Alexa. And a song came on, and it's called There Is a Cloud. I know the song now, and I listened to a lot of questionable music so before this.
Yeah.
Which just brings me to a point with something I learned, that we have to be careful what we put in our minds because how that influences us. But There Is a Cloud, about, and I asked Sharon who sings that. She didn't know, so I asked Alexa, and Alexa told me Elevation Worship. So I was like, well, that's cool. So then I listened to some more of their music and found out they were in Charlotte. At the Ballantyne area, and pretty much I found strength in your music because I feel like a lot of it is related to me, and it's real, can apply to just, you know, your everyday life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So after and listened to Elevation Music for a while, I watched some of their sermons with Pastor Stephen, and it engaged me. I liked the message of hope. And then I got to visit a couple of times, which is really fun to go there.
Yeah.
And how many trips did you make down there to go hear them or to go to the church?
I've been to 3 Sunday services and 2 of the worship nights where they record the live music.
Yeah.
Which is a blast.
Yeah. Someone once said, what we put inside of us will show on the outside of us. Right. And that, whether it's the Lord or not, it will show, right? And so, and I think that in our life group, we were just talking this past week about how when we look around this world and we're looking, you know, horizontally at everything, you know, everything around us going on, it can really begin to bring us down. But if we can lift our eyes and worship God and put him in his rightful place, where we are focused on him being our everything, not our center, but our everything, then it changes our perspective. It takes the burden off of us and puts when we can worship him. So I have a feeling like, because I can remember coming through this journey myself of, you know, I was here. I was new around the church, but I was doing some drinking. It was getting me in trouble other places. Sure. And, you know, to be able to really lean in and trust him with everything I had. There were some days I just had to worship through it.
Sure.
You know, and have to keep my eyes on him. So I am grateful for worship and what that can do in our life and get us through some really tough times. Yeah. Whatever genre of music, of worship music, there's all types out there. For those that are listening, you know, Elevation might not be it, but there's some type of worship that if we can engage in that way in our darkest moments, it can change a lot for us.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned about going to recovery during November, December of 2020, right when COVID was, and I think of, you know, you serve a lot in our church. In fact, our church was planting a campus in East Rock during, it's funny that we were planting during a pandemic.
Absolutely.
Or that we had started the plans of planting, not knowing that there was going to be a pandemic hitting during this time. But I mean, even before you went down to East Rock, you served here on the parking lot when we had outdoor church. I remember we joked and called you Mark Parking Lots, and you helped
Marky Parky.
Marky Parky.
Fun times.
But you actually, even though you live in Harrisonburg, you serve down at our East Rock campus. And so if you want to share about the ways that you serve there, and then we'll get into how that's led God to also serve a little deeper in ministry.
Yes, when we had the meeting, Pastor Adrian was looking for 75, I believe it was 75 people to go to the East Rock campus when it launched. Mm-hmm. I just felt kind of a nudging to maybe I should, you know, see how I could help out help the church with the launching of that campus. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for it, and Pastor John thought it would be cool for me to try to do sound and tech stuff. So he talked me into doing that. So that's primarily how I serve now is on the tech and the sound team, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even before you got, or when you got in here today, you're wearing a hat, and people on the radio can't see your hat. It says Nazarene Bible College. And
yes,
so that's kind of a deeper step than, I mean, volunteerism is very important. You can never have enough volunteers in the church, but sometimes people have a deeper calling, and I believe you felt that. So do you want to share about that?
Sure. I guess I can put it this way. With what I've went through and how God delivered me from it, I think I wanted to learn more about how I could help others and maybe help them, you know, seek God to get help from whatever they're dealing with. Okay. So I kind of feel like that I with what I've been through, I've kind of felt that I needed to learn more so maybe I could help other folks that may be challenged or going through something similar that I went through, to show how God can deliver you from these strongholds that can really impact your life and ultimately impact the trajectory of our future here while we're here on Earth. So I enrolled after kicking around a little bit with my wife, Sharon, and I felt a nudge a while back to maybe do something. But, of course, I had to address myself first.
Yeah.
That was number one priority. So I felt led after much prayer and talking to some folks about it that I would, you know, do some more learning. So I enrolled in Nazarene Bible College. And that's been a fun adventure so far. I'm in my second year there.
And I believe you said you're going for a bachelor's degree there. So
biblical theology. It's a lot of reading.
It is a lot of reading. That's great. Well, it is just wonderful. Just to hear a story of hope, but not just for you, but you have that desire to help others, to bring hope to others. And that really is a minister of reconciliation, right? Yeah. I've been talking recently about we take the hand of the broken and the hand of God, and we believe and pray for them until they can do that for themselves. And people here did that for you. And now you are wanting to pass that on and to be a part of a kingdom builder, you know, bringing a kingdom perspective to people that are broken. So if there's someone listening today and they have someone that's struggling, or they may be struggling themselves, what would you say to them?
I would say that trying to recover from, you know, anything like this, it takes a lot of prayer, and it takes, you need to get help of others. Yeah. I think that's part of, at least for me, part of my problem was I had always felt a little bit of shame that if I would talk to others about it, or I try to get help, somebody would find out and they'd be like, well, Mark, he doesn't have it all together. Look what he's going through. So it really, I mean, it took some courage to reach out and get help. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, obviously for me, it was well worth it because it changed my whole life by getting that help.
Yeah.
And also, I take my sobriety pretty selfishly. I think you have to have that mindset that, you know, God's delivered me from this. I'm working hard on it, and I'm not going to let anything take me back to my old ways.
That's right, because the enemy will sneak in with a thought, won't he?
Absolutely.
And it's at that thought that we have to make a decision.
Absolutely.
Because that thought will just snowball on us if we don't take that thought captive.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have been given the mind of Christ, and Scripture says that he'll make a way out for us when we're tempted. And so I give God praise for that today.
Mark, is there anything that we haven't asked you today or that you haven't shared that you'd like to share already? And since we call this program Hope Talks, I know your testimony has brought me a lot of hope. I know you well, but there's some things I learned today that I didn't even know. So what is giving you the most hope right now in your life?
I think being around the community of believers gives me hope. One thing that I found through, like we had just discussed about, you know, reaching out to someone and getting help, you know, I was encouraged by, you know, the church being around others that, you know, when I did need help, I had somebody in my corner, somebody to help me. And, I would just say that gives me hope because I know that, you know, if I would happen to go through, because we all go through different seasons in life, that, you know, I have a family that, you know, I can talk to my friends here at church and, you know, get support regardless of what I go through without being judged and having to feel the shame and those feelings that come from that.
You know, I think about, just in kind of wrapping this up, I think about, you know, if someone's having a heart problem, they're not going to be ashamed of it. And this is something that stemmed from a pain, a broken place in your life that needed to be healed. And so you did that work. And the enemy would call us to loneliness and isolation because he knows that if we talk to someone and if we get help, that God is going to use this testimony in a mighty way. And so I think the mindset is no one will understand. This is what the enemy says to us. I need to stay in isolation. Nobody's going to understand. And so I just need to try to drown this in whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be alcohol.
Sure.
I mean, it's anything that we put in that place. It can be busyness. It can be work. It can be whatever we busy ourselves with and put in the place of going to God first and then being in community. It's whatever draws us into isolation. It can be as simple as shopping. You know,
absolutely.
It can be gambling. It can be, like, you name it. Anything that's not God, it can be, right?
Sure.
And so I'm just grateful to hear your testimony today that the church was there for you. It wasn't a place of judgment, but it was a place where people walked with you. And that's my prayer for anyone that is listening today, that they would find someone that's safe for them to have the conversation, because God has a greater plan than you in isolation. He has a place in community for every person that has found themselves in a place where they feel they'd be judged. That's the lie of the enemy. And so we want to dispel that lie and dispel the darkness around that and say, find your people and find hope and healing in Christ.
Yeah. Well, Mark, it's been great to have you on Hope Talks today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Mark Lotz's up-to-date testimony, so to speak. We pray that it's been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.